Blog Talk Radio.
Hello to all you saucy lads and lasses, and welcome to Late Night Poets, Arts of Seduction. We are part of the world's largest community, that's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. to midnight. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft, a Song Off with Richard and Neutron, and Double Helix for the Phasian Index. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. Saturday, split between Grey Eyes Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wilds, bringing you Bad Company, and Ekphrasia with Captain B2 and Dan. Mondays, come hang out with our wild dove, Luyu, in Nature and Passion. And Tuesday, dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. And if you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Mondays through Saturday mornings. Monday's a split between the Hearts of LMP with Victoria and Black Lace Diaries with Mr. M and Mistress Frost. Tuesdays, Take a Walk on the Wild Side. Fridays, a split between Crawling into the Dark with Pam and Break on Through. And Saturdays, Faziana and Babla will teach you the fine art of being part sinner, part saint. Check out the contests and prompts for all our shows, call in to read your poems, hang for the fun, and if you have the ability, make a SoundCloud so that we can hear you read yours. Good evening, Jean. How are you doing?
Hello, Rex. I'm doing quite well. Thank you very much. I love that intro when you do that whole spiel of all the shows, but I don't think you mentioned Sunday, did you?
Oh, no, I didn't.
No?
Yeah, Jesus, yeah. I'm not usually on Wednesdays either. So I missed one.
Yeah.
Sunday's rhythm and rhyme. Come dig into the music.
Absolutely. I was there for now. Wait a minute. How do you get to Monday already? And I said, oh, wait a minute. I know what it was. So, you never forget to plug your own show, man. But great contest you ran for tonight. It was great. I loved it. It seems like you got a great turnout from
different.
It. Right.
Yes,
right.
It was.
Exactly. Absolutely. Nice turnout and looked like some good poetry there. And, I think it's going to be a nice night of poetry. Absolutely. Now, maybe we'll get a little company. You never know. I don't know.
Yeah, we're all those saucy lads and lasses.
Yeah, right.
Maybe all them horn dogs are in dipping into that little wax of magic and seduction.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they're doing some research on the poetry instead of doing the poetry.
literally speaking.
Yes, exactly.
But don't forget, your metaphors are well earned. Use them properly.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. So anyway, I was tickled. I thought, what a great contest. And, it was a good idea. It's a nice change. We don't do the noir contest very often. I mean, we've done a few, but I don't think that we run them very often. And it's nice to have them in different genres, and get different feedback from them. So it worked out well.
Well, I didn't think about it. I was looking up some thoughts on that end for after midnight, and I kept coming across these little alluring and saucy little tidbits. I said, oh, okay. Play out
right.
The other end, too. So.
Yeah, when you said something to me, I thought, oh, that makes perfect sense. I mean, because it does slide right in there. I mean, noir is like, I don't know, it's got different angles to it. But, there's always a femme fatale, there's always some kind of something going on in the background. And I don't know, I just think that it really is kind of suited for Wednesday as well. So it was a great idea and a great choice. There were good quotes, and good images.
Yeah, there were some ticklers in there.
Yes. Yes, there were. I'm kind of curious. I didn't actually look to see who wrote to which of the prompts. So I'm really kind of curious to see who wrote to which one, and what ones got used. Because there were some interesting ones in there, I got to say. But, yeah, so, but they must be having a party somewhere or else they are celebrating it and doing some research. But the nerve of this, folks, that's okay. Well, what the heck.
Yeah,
right?
Supposed to come here, get a little warmed up, then go do the research.
That's right. The next Wednesday, we want lots of good poetry. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yep. That's the way it works, right? We're going to do the research. We want to see it. I'm telling you. Well, I don't know, but whenever you're ready, we get the party started. If there's something else you want to say about your quotes for the contest, I'd be willing to listen to it. I'm not real familiar with Mr. Chandler. I'd be lying if I said I was.
I know a couple of them got used, but I figured there was a couple more that didn't, like the one with the the Pope, not the Pope, the Bishop. I don't think that one got used.
Right, that would have been like that.
The Pope definitely got used as an angle. The Strange Sins, the Taj Mahal got used. So I think we got a fair amount.
I did notice Betty Davis, her picture got used a lot. I thought that was interesting, actually. I think
there was a song, Betty Davis Eyes, way back in the day.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And then they turned back in the late 70s, they turned it into Marty Feldman Eyes.
Oh, God. I think I vaguely remember
his run on Young Frankenstein and Mel Brooks movies. Yeah, they had some fun with that one.
Yes. Yeah, I remember Betty Davis Eyes. It was one of those that you heard all the time. And I'd be like, oh, my God. But okay. Back in the day, they liked it the way it was. I was young. Whatever. You know, I'd listen to it and then wander off do my own thing. So, what do you do? But yeah. Yep. I'm not Pam, so you're not going to get a whole lot of info out of me. Nope.
All right. I get it. Not a problem.
With all that info she had tucked away. She really did. Oh, my God. Everything you want to know about Metallica and we're afraid to ask. That was Pam. It worked out well. Okay. Well, I guess we'll get the party started. And,
sure
enough. The first one I'm going to put up is by Jag325. And it's called Femme Fatale. So, Rex, whenever you're ready.
All right. Femme Fatale by Jag325. Her svelte figure settled there, a queen seated in a regal chair, whiskey neat with ice tinkling as she lifted the glass into the air. Attitude screaming, I did it! But her cold, dark eyes sizzled, and I was a renowned detective that most cops call grizzled. While jazz songs played softly, she calculated beneath lashes, clouds capable of violent fury, and callous lightning flashes. My badge, sure she was guilty, a woman aware I knew this, yet I found myself enchanted to engage her lips with a kiss. A single shot exploded loudly. I cursed my being in this dive. The mere smile touched her, knowing I would never leave here alive. And boom. And Jack's red eyes like Winston.
Yeah, I thought this was a great example of a noir piece. And it just had enough. I don't want to use the word seduction, but there's just enough. Engaging there when, at that, sure she was guilty, woman where I knew this. Yet I found myself enchanted to engage her lips with a kiss. You know, it has that little bit of a romantic kind of, romantic isn't the word. Romance, yeah, maybe a little bit in the right. And I think that it was just really well done, a great piece by Jag, and I think it's a good way to get the party started.
Oh, absolutely. There was that nice little intermingled sort of play with a bogey bacall from out of The Big Sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of my badge, sure she was guilty, the woman I aware I knew this, yet I found myself enchanted to engage her lips with a kiss. And that last stanza, a single shot exploded loudly, I cursed my being in this dive, the nearest smile touched her, knowing there was no leave here alive. Nice touch to finish off, especially with the opening up for self-figure to notice. And I like that picture there. You picked this one up of, I forget who that was now.
Yeah, that was a great picture. I liked it. Let me type in my last little word there. Okay.
All right.
That was a good one. Yes, say goody, goody, goody one. So that's why we're here. And I'll tell you what, we have other people surrounded by two Santas. I am going to play one of them. I want to play Pretty Birds. That way I can scroll down a little bit and not worry about forgetting it or losing it in the mix. So, and this one's called The Man Can Blow by Pretty Bird. And here we go.
The Man Can Blow by Pretty Bird. Stroke my cool curves, warm me up slow, trill my keys and practice strokes. Teasing your life. It's been a while, my friend. My, how I've missed the smooth jazz riffs you coax from my core with ease. The warmth of your mouth vibrates through my body. I sing beneath your expert hands, holding, gently caressing me in place as your tongue complex rhythms roar and beat to make me quiver. Gently wrapped around your neck, you guide me through the dance on sultry waves and satin blues. You do me right, so damn right. Too hot and wet to sleep, you lay me down. As you walk away, all I can think is, damn, he does me good.
Mm-hmm. Great read, Pretty Bird. Thank you very much for the sound card. It is very much appreciated. And that's definitely, even though she's talking about the sax and the player itself, it does walk a nice, very cohesive thought to being held by a man, a woman being held by a man, and just going through the erotic motions of an evening. The warmth of your mouth vibrates through my body as you tone complex rhythms on sultry waves of satin blues. You do right. So damn right. And that last stanza, as you walk away, all I can think is, damn, he does me good. Cleverly metaphorical piece that works on two levels. All right, well, Jane, what did you think?
I remembered this piece, as I was telling you earlier, I remembered this from way back when it was written, and I remembered I liked it then, and I liking it is like minimal. It's a wonderful piece, lots of excellent imagery throughout. As you said, lots of metaphors in it. It was great from beginning to end, and it really hit all the right notes. pun intended, pun not intended. But I think that Pretty Bird really did a great job with this. It had wonderful imagery throughout, and yeah, it's just amazing. So. I want to thank her for putting on the show tonight and tell her it's just wonderful. It's really wonderful. I do have to say I like this. I pulled one stanza. They're all great. But I sing beneath your expert hands. Hold me, gently caressing me in place as your tongue complex, rhythms roaring to make me quiver. That just leads into the next one and then the next one. So, but it was just a great, great write. So thank you, Pretty Bird. Yep. I know. I got to find a piece. I'll hang on. I'm going to get with the program. Okay, let me see. I'm going to read the next one. And this is called Strangers by Casey Day. Do I make you shiver? Does it drive you mad? Do I remind you of all the pretty things you wish you had? Are you fantasizing about me giving in to you? I could, and if I should, what would you do? Does it hurt? Does it break you up inside when you imagine your hands at the meeting of my thighs? Just a little bit. Just a taste would take you higher. Just a spark would set ablaze you all to deep desires. Smile, bite your tongue, and look me in the eyes, trying to be kind. But you've already fucked me inside in your mind. And so on.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. And I wasn't expecting that last line.
Yeah,
kind of a hell of a lead in considering everything else, all the questions. That little naughty nuance that will make you shiver. Does it drive you mad? Are you fantasizing about me giving in to you? Half the thing is questions, and that hits on the nice note of a little bit of, what did she say? Oh, she had eyes like strange sin. All right, so just kind of walking that notion of, is she really asking the questions, or is this what's in your mind to begin with? And kind of answers that in the last answer itself.
Right.
It comes across as the guy looking at this girl with the eyes wide open, and all of this is coming, rolling right through his mind in the moment. That's a great picture, too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
Okay. Well, you know, I have to say I thought this was a well-penned piece. And I thought it was a great take on the prompt. You know, the she had eyes like strange spin. You know, the imagery was good. You know, I have to say I pulled this one. Does it hurt? Does it break you up inside? When you imagine your hands at the meeting of my size? You know, I just thought it was well done and definitely, you know, nicely put together. And, yeah, I was a little surprised by the ending, but, you know, what can I say except for it worked? You know, it worked. So, good job, Casey, and thanks for sharing. And, yeah, that is a good picture, Rex. I have to agree. Definitely. Okay. Let's see what's happening now. Okay. That brings me back to you. Let me put this up. Okay. Put that in there. Yes. Okay, Rex, whenever you're ready, hon.
Okay. Death in a Handbag by Kingsley Medland. I like smooth, shiny girls, hard-boiled and loaded with sin. I knew the dame stood in my office was packed in Shaolin, so I knew if she wanted, she could see me dead, or at least hurt me bad, real bad. But I kind of liked the thought of that. In the blink of an eye, I wouldn't see it coming, not with her training and skills. The truth is, I didn't have the pot to kiss it. Why me? I said. Why not you? She replied. Her words dripped like sweet melting honey. I shrugged. Wasn't going to lie. I needed the money. And I'm partial to honey. On my cereals or between the sheets. With those ice-cold eyes and warm red lips. Dressed in the ivory slip and little else, she looked gorgeous. It didn't take a genius to see how she was dangerous. Dolls like her always are. But I'm no genius. Why did she stop by putting away the gun? She put it away and stood in the waning sun. Shadows from the blinds fell across her body. I, a shadow. End quote. She'd object. Kingsley took. I like smooth, shiny girls, hard-boiled, and loaded with sin. Oh,
but, you know, I thought this was great. I really did. It started out with the, I like smooth, shiny girls, hard-boiled and loaded with sin. I knew the dame stood in my office, which practiced in Shaolin. So I knew if she wanted, she could see me dead, or at least hurt me dead. Yeah, it had that real great tone to it. You know, when I was listening to you read it, I'm like, yeah, this just kind of, yes, it just sounded on target, you know, with the, with noir, and really liked it a lot. So it was an excellent job, Kingsley Medlin. Not familiar with Kingsley, but I hope he'll share a few more pieces.
Kings
with
needs a new edition of it the last couple of weeks.
Really? Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
It's a great piece. Great addition to the show. Absolutely. I like that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You played that picture very nicely. And Death in a handbag, even though you don't see the handbag, considering she's got the gun in her hand, that's a nice touch. Because ladies don't
right.
have handbags with them. And like you said, that opening, those first few lines were a nice lead-in. And then the general thought run down there, the sweet melting honey, were her words dripped like sweet melting honey. I shrugged. I wasn't going to lie. I needed the money. And I passed my honey on my cereal or between the cheeks. Nice touch. Dropping in ice cold eyes and warm red lips. A little fire and ice there. But the last couple of them, why don't you start by putting away the gun? She put it away and put it away in sun. The shadows from the blind fell across her body. I want it to be a shadow. Nice touch. Because that allusion to wanting to be an honor, but in a different manner. Something that just slips nicely into the mind. I want it to be a shadow. Nicely done, things. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I agree with you. 100%. What Rex said. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me do that. There we go. Now, next one for my next magic trip. Oh, that will not work. I love when I do something stupid like that. The next one I'm going to put up is by Eric Fenton. And well, put that up and I'll put on the audio for that. And here we go.
She who rides elephants, still statuesque, she lit up the dusky lobby. Of course, she put a spell on me with her nascent narco glow. Her urge to wander the Taj Mahal gardens on full moon nights, shed her mortal black velvet dress, wade into the endless lotus pond where Princess Diana sat on a bench. Mercenary wit dictated that she disrobe behind my back. Once submerged, her smoky voice signaled, "Shh, quiet now, this is illegal." Black velvet dress, shaken but not stirred. Ian Fleming must have made her acquaintance. Doyen of espionage, dressage duty by day, shapeshift by night into shadowy jazz clubs. Femme fatale demeanor puts out the bait. She traps her victims like they trap tigers in India. Present irresistible, succulent meat in a huge metal cage. Smell of blood intoxicates big cats. Did I know the smoky, top-notch jazz club was a trap? Of course I did. Espionage equals risk. Piranhas are synonymous with incest puns. Infamous allure, each trumpet blare. Soft sigh of big bass strings. Clarinet, trombone, trumpet. Saxophones berating the saints for marching into such decadence. Smoldering cadence of little low green velvet table lights. She was all of this and more. Still, statuesque in that dusky lobby. Show, don't tell, she did. Claudia Cardinale, octopusy persona. I, more a blustering, bullfighting Hemingway than suave Roger Moore. Yet, when back turned as per instruction, the black velvet dress the Maharaja instructed Coco Chanel to design for her gave me some comfort. Allure of her scent pushed red atom bomb buttons. The majestic, moonlit Taj Mahal berated my forced impact. New penumbra of four-pointed minarets accused. I sensed, or maybe saw, a futuristic Diana's ghost on the bench opposite the pond. Despicable thought, but when her supple, trained shape parted the pink lotus flowers with electric ill surety, I despised myself for serving the crown. Did she, who rides elephants, locate the infamous Agra pink diamond safely stashed in the pond? Clarinet, trombone, trumpet, choose your answer. Info.
Great read, Eric. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And Eric Sophia, you smelled the way the Taj Mahal looks in moonlight. Nicely done, Eric. Thank you. All right, Gene, there's a lot for you to dig into with this. But you got to unmute first.
I don't have time to be doing silly stuff like muting myself tonight. I'm challenging. But, you know, excellent. Eric does such excellent work, you know, between his alliteration and his imagery. And, you know, he always has a story. You know, of course he has a story, but I mean, it's like so he has this detailed kind of story that always runs through his work. And I think that that's just amazing. You know, he's a very creative person. And I think that this really is no exception. I think he did an excellent job with the noir feel. It's not quite the same as the one by Jag, you know, with that kind of lead-in like you would expect, like the movie narrative, you know, in the beginning. But this definitely has the story running through it. And it suits it very well. So excellent work. And I had to pull here, saxophones berating the saints for marching into such decadence. Smoldering cadence and little low green velvet table lights. She was all of this and more. Still statuesque in that dusky lobby. So many great lines and phrases throughout. I thought it was just great. Yeah, excellent work.
Thank you, Gene. I think that first stanza might have thrown you off a bit with the Princess Diana thought. That hits on today's, well, more of a today's angle about 20 years ago. But everything else walks a different tone. It goes back a little further in time, especially with that second stanza, starting off with the Ian Fleming thought with the through the 20s and through the 30s and 40s, as he was supposed to have been part of the British Secret Service during the war duty. And it hits of the black velvet dress, shaken but not stirred. Ian Fleming must have made her acquaintance, doyen of espionage, dressage duty by day, shapeshift by night in the shadowy jazz clubs. Femme fatale demeanor puts out the bait. She traps her victims like they trap tigers in India. Present, irresistible, succulent meat in a huge metal cage, smell of blood intoxicates big cats. What a great stanza that was. And he continued that thought, and then fell back on the, and he threw in a little bit of humor with I, more blustering bullfighting Hemingway than a suave Roger Moore. And again, this over the black velvet dress, the Maharaja instructed Coco Chanel to design for her. And that was a great touch there, too, because Coco Chanel was the one who invented the little black dress that became such the fashion statement. And then it was back back to that future thought. I sensed or maybe saw a futuristic Diana's ghost on the bench opposite the pond. So there's that notice of all right, stepping back out and then thinking forward on. But finishing that thought with her, did she, who rides elephants, locate the infamous Agra pink diamond safely stashed in the pond? Another nice note to that that themology for the what do I call it? The MacGuffin. That thing everybody wants, but nobody ever really gets. The pink diamond.
Nice.
The MacGuffin.
Nice, sound that right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let me see now. For my next magic trick, believe it or not, I already have it lined. I put one up here by Cotton Dream, and it's called Wonderment. She radiates moonlight, skin glowing like soft nightlights in the inky darkness. Balsamic woody breath wafts from half-smiling red sandstone lips, whispering my name. deep cobalt eyes inlaid on the smooth surface of her sculpted face pull me closer like tides in distant ocean, following the silent siren song. Swirling calligraphy dress drapes across statuesque body. The rounded domes of exposed shoulders catch the starlight glinting. My pilgrim fingers travel the length of pale birch legs up the arching curve of torso, pausing on her velvety back. Grip tightened around sturdy frame that dips into clavicle, kissing the minaret of her throat. My mouth mumbles old orisons against the steely sheen of midnight on flushed marble. End poem.
Great read, Jean. And like Eric, forgotten took, she smelled the way the Taj Mahal looked in the moonlight. And what a great thought to Monument being the title, but the description of that opening stanza is nice. She radiates moonlight. Skin glowing like a soft nightlight in the easy darkness.
Right.
Great opening stanza. And that balsamic woodsy breath. There's something that's got a little sweet note to it. But everything else, the description, deep cobalt eyes inlaid on the smooth surface of her sculpted face, pull me close like tides in distant oceans, following the silent thoughts. And to keep going on with more description, I could use it all. But then again, I won't need nothing for you to get in on. But I was like kissing the minaret of her throat. What a nice touch. My mouth mumbles old and I present the steely sheen of midnight on flesh. Wonderful piece. What do you think?
Okay. Sorry. I'm having a little bit of hearing difficulty here. I thought that this was just a fabulous piece. I thought it was a great take on that prompt. You know, she smelled the way the Taj Mahal looked in midnight. And it made me go back, and I'm kind of looking and I'm going, wow. Okay, we got the moonlight in the first stanza. We have the woodsy breath wafting in the second stanza. You know, and we have a smooth surface and a sculpted face. You know, and then we, you know, at the end when it says the steely sheen of midnight on flushed marble. I think this really wrapped itself around that prompt. Just an excellent job. I was going to pull the first two stanzas, you know, and kind of, because I thought they were wonderful. But, you know, God, in all fairness, I mean, every one is just as great as the other. You know, we got the descriptions of the Taj Mahal and the rounded domes and exposed shoulders. I mean, I just think it's great all the way through. So, I don't know. I don't even know where I would... there's just so much going on and so many great stanzas and phrases and thoughts. Just wonderfully done.
That was a beautiful thought, because you could actually walk it as coming across the Taj Mahal for the first time and walking this scene as the building itself rather than the girl. So it kind of it works on two levels.
Right. Yeah. It is wonderful. Good stuff. Absolutely. Okay. Let's see. That brings me back to you. And I have one for you. That's good, I guess. Phew. Okay, whenever you're ready, Rice, I'll put one up by J.C. Anders called Doe Eyed Desire.
Okay, J.C. Doe Eyed Desire by J.C. Anders. Narrow pink pygmy scars, she shyly wants to hide, tattooed camouflage. Between those satin thighs. Snippity, snippity, snip. Down here it tumbles down, as does the autumn slate sky, and slowly crumbles, bit by drop by bit. Now, a pixie painted blonde, phantom crawling itch, lifeless dust bunny,
his body, and then ready to lick. Where your mask composed, snap, snap, rat whiskers stiffen and flinch. Turquoise curtains drawn, Eve smile, crisp face stick. Betty Boop, his teeth is blue, your wife's hand is subtle tip. Start to tremble, muscle tense, they twitch. Nude in a dirty mirror, sometimes no one notices. Passing sweet and savory, ejaculation may quit.
Nice read, Rex. Nice read. Great piece, JC.
Mm-hmm. I forgot what number 10 was.
I'm having that. I don't know if it's me or not.
Oh. She had eyes like strange things.
Okay. Okay, I think you're waiting on me. And I'm busy playing around on my phone. But I think, so forgive me. You know, I'm just having a little trouble here and I'm not sure. I think I'm going to call back after I give this comment. I think JC did a great job with this. It was an interesting noir piece. And I think that he really, you know, he took it from a different angle. It's not quite as it's not quite what I, no, I don't want to say that, because I think it's a great piece. It's just hard, because there's, some things sound noir, and some things are noir, and some things, you know, but I think it has its own place here in all the choices. Let me look and see what his prompt 10. What's prompt 10, Rex?
Oh, she had eyes like strange things.
What is it?
She had eyes like strange things.
Oh, it was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I saw a reference here. It says Sunday church girl bitch. I was like, well, okay, maybe, you know, maybe you pulled that one we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. Okay, the bishop angle.
Yeah, it's got like an interesting point here, I guess. But, you know, I liked how it started out. Narrow pink pygmy scars, she shyly wants to hide. Tattooed camouflage between their satin thighs. Snippity, snippity, snip. Brown hair tumbles down, as does the autumn sleet skies. And slowly she crumbles, drip by drop by drip. You know, just, I don't know. I mean, it definitely, you know, I guess really what it is I look at this image and I think it fits the image even more so than the quote. Because, you know, you kind of see this being about this person in the image. You know, that you can see that change over a transition, change of attitude and, you know, I guess maybe that's where I'm going. You know, when we're talking about prompt 10, I'm like, oh, wait. But I think I'm seeing more description of a lot about that image more so than any quote. So, yeah, I think it was really well done. I think there was a lot of great imagery throughout, interesting thoughts. And, you know, I mean, they twitch nudes in a dirty mirror. Sometimes no one notices. But it just... I don't know. It's got a lot of great thoughts going through it. And I have to say that it was very well done, JC. And I want to thank you for writing for the contest. Absolutely.
You're right. I got the transformation angle, too, with that whole first bit right down to now a pixie painted blonde. Nice. That notice of longer hair, maybe even darker, and the sort of transformation. Walking into another realm of what she was thinking, believing, or wanting, but couldn't do it without actually making that jump. The jump was to transform herself into this pixie-haired blonde and walking into new views, new life of different things. The different lifeless dust bunnies casting shadows in the corners. Subliminal yoga twist, talent wasted body, Sunday's church girl bitch. So that kind of hits on the notion of being a little priggish, standoffish, stuck up. And the Bible stuff when he's kind of hit on the notion of forever alone. So there was a sort of going from the drab with the brown or black hair into the blonde angle, kind of hits on that notion of blonde have more fun. And you hit the Betty Boop with deeper blue, no ice to land a subtle stretch. And that hits right on that picture itself. It does have those big eyes right there and opening up to you. And there's that almost a little subtle surrender there. So it hits in that sort. And the muscles tense, they twitch. Nudes in a dirty mirror. Sometimes no one notices. So it's that sort of being unnoticed until you actually transform into this other self. And all of a sudden, more eyes turn your way. You get more of a look. Subtle and overly aggressive in nature, but it kind of gets to that point of the strange thing from the quote itself is on that notion. She might have already had that in the eyes, but her general outlook on herself didn't paint itself that way until she cut the hair and had herself long. Then things changed a bit. So you had the right idea with the transformation anyway. It worked. And it does fit nicely. Thank you, JC.
No, absolutely. Now, Rex, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a piece up for you, okay? I'm going to hang up and call back. And then I give you a little piece, so maybe I'll be back before you're even done. And that would be wonderful. Okay. So here we go. This one's by Time Teller. It's called Tango.
Oh, okay. This is a nice piece.
Okay.
Tango by Time Teller. She licked past me like a flame, singeing flesh with the sweetness of sinful sweets. Her body flickered between the silhouettes of dancing shadows. Naked, it would seem within the darkness of hypnotic rave beats, pulsing a rhythm that should stay between last night's sheets. The heavy oxygen-less air of the club became a backwash of color through her aroma. She smelled the way the Taj Mahal looked in moonlight, and my eyes saw Hollywood. I felt her breath within my chest, and her life history was there, implanted within my groin. I knew every inch of landscape, every place traveled. I knew every thought through school, work, and home life. The music throbbed, twisting her aura. A trumpet cuddled the room in notes as a snare wriggled the trio of moving about her hips. A piano went up and down her scales as the guitar did string theory without sight. That moment she smiled was the moment the trains all arrived on time and the hunger on the street seemed an eternity away. We danced around each other like fireflies, each trying to outmaneuver the other. Short bursts of eye contact as arms and legs stepped across and over each other, heads moved side to side. And where we were, we became of no matter. We were edging a supernova, balancing upon the rim of one of Saturn's rings. We danced on the Milky Way's dance floor, while the stars around us came and went like blinking lights on a Christmas tree. Somewhere else, the night was over, but for us, it had just begun. And the bed with clean satin sheets was being made as we poured our thirst-quenching drinks while splurting feather innuendos loudly into one another's ears. The key was turning in her front door as we bought another and looked out across the dance floor. Sitting on stools at the bar, strewn clothes would lead a detective up the stairs or bedroom door as we found excuses to touch. Her hair cascaded like a waterfall, and my hand rippled in her rapids. She poked my chest in front of my joke, and then laughed loudly. Funny how we could hear each other easily. We had synced, no longer in counterpoint. Our lips harmonized, the words between us. And the music faded into another dimension, along with the dancers into another universe. There we were, alone together, at the start of hyperspace. A tango
yet to happen in poem. And Godfella also said she saw the way the Taj Mahal looked in moonlight. Nice, Godfella. All right, Jean, you back?
Yes, I am.
Cool.
You know, I think this was a really great piece. The amount of inspiration that I assume that they received from that prompt was incredible, because it really led them on this wonderful tale throughout. And I loved how they addressed the prompt right at the beginning, you know, like up near the top. She smelled the way the Taj Mahal looked in moonlight, and my eyes saw Hollywood. You know, and then it goes on, and it's like, wow, really? I mean, it was great. It just had a whole lot of things happening throughout, and lots of great imagery, and I don't know. It's just, there was just a lot happening. I mean, this could go on again for another part of the story, you know? I think it was just a well-done piece, Tom Teller, that he did an awesome job, you know, with the prompt. So, nice work.
It was a great piece, and it all walks around that single opening salvo of title, Tango, and took it actually through the tango, but pulsed it with a nice seductive thought. She licked past me like a flame, singeing flesh with the sweetness of sinful treats. Her body flickered between the silhouettes of dancing shadows. What a great opening few lines right there. And it's finishing off with a pulsing a rhythm that should have stayed between last night's sheets. The nice erotic nature of the tango itself thrown in. And it was one of the ones that came along. I knew every inch of landscape, every place traveled. I knew every thought through school, work, and home life. The thought of understanding the dance and everything else in between all at once. Well thought there. This next one, a snare wriggled a tree of movement about her hip. A piano went up and down her scales, and the guitar just spin theory without sight. Nice play off the music itself as well. And we danced around each other like fireflies. Woohoo. Subtle movement. We were edging a supernova balanced upon the rim of Saturn's rings. Danced on the Milky Way's dance floor. That's a great load of imagery just in that itself, as well as the rest of the piece. And the sort of fine drink to quench the thirst. Then off and got that little back and forth innuendo. Then the sort of turning her, turning the key in the front door. They're buying another set of drinks. Everything's going off. Little play action back and forth. And yes, finish off with that alone together at the start of my birthday. A tango yet to happen. Well, they've been doing the tango, so the back end is offering up that nice foot. Hey, it's even longer time to film. Be done, time teller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's some good lines in this. When you were commenting, I started looking. I'm going, you know, somewhere else, and it was over for us, and just began. The bed with clean satin sheets was being made as we caught our thirst quenching drink. And then I love that whole stanza there. I thought that whole stanza was really great for a Wednesday.
That was a well-played theme.
Yes.
They're hard to come by sometimes, and that one just fits so right. Especially the back and forth innuendo down at the bottom, the elusive illusion of conversation and innuendo throughout the whole piece goes right back to the dance itself, as well as to the angle of seduction in the moment.
I know there's no rules, but I'll hang on to yours for a little while. That way somebody calls, you have more than just one comment coming from me. it feels better that way. Don't be fresh about me being slow.
No.
Okay.
I really like that picture and the quote that went with it, I guess. Number 10 was the favorite.
Something about that. I think because it had this real, almost an exotic kind of feel. You're thinking about the Taj Mahal and the fact she smells like the Taj Mahal in the moonlight. That's kind of a interesting concept, I think. And it just kind of opens all the doors and windows for you to go anywhere you want, you know, any direction that you want to with it. I think that might be what the intrigue was to it, for real. Okay. So let me hit this button and get Weaver started.
I look demure, but looks can and do deceive. In a dim-lit club, my gaze is compelling, alluring, luring men as a siren song heard on a breeze, gossamer light. There is a ploy, used but sparingly, which I will share with you alone. A simple, subtle, sideways glance, eyes lock, sparks fly. For a fleeting second, then I break contact. The object of this experiment first looks surprised, tries to catch my gaze, then flushes as I don't comply. I will take pity on him soon, toy with him face to face until he relaxes, thinking he has me. Then I'll turn and walk away.
Great read, Weaver. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. Ooh, that was quite the thought. And play, there's a sort of pay to play, so to speak, but the play is on her angle. The understanding, knowing what she's doing is, as she puts it, alluring men as a siren song, heard on a breeze, gossamer light. I like that little tone of inference right there. And the ploy used, but sparingly. And the notion, hey, I'm going to share it with you right now in the moment. And then that thought of finishing out, I'm just playing with him for the moment. Yeah, turn it on a little harder. When he thinks he's got me, hey, night, night, big boy. I'm going home. With you. Oh, that was a hell of a seductive ploy, layout, and night night. That's all you get.
Yeah, right. I don't know what you were thinking. But, I thought this was a great capture of the femme fatale. Great tape on that, that. String you along and kind of push you away, kind of. And what was I going to say? I was going to ask something. Oh, and this is her prompt 10 as well.
Yep.
Oh, prompt 10. That's the one, I guess.
It's popular.
Yes, it was.
And they've all been very different from each other.
Yes, they have. Yes, they have. That's kind of what's been fun about it. It's like, they're not all same old. They all have their own little bit of flavor to them. I mean, they all fit the mode, but they all have their own voice completely. And I like that because I think it makes it more interesting. But I really think this, it was really well penned, this piece, and it was a great take on the prompt. But the object of this experiment first looks surprised, tries to catch my gaze, then flushes if I don't comply. I will take pity on him soon, play with him face to face, until he relaxes, thinking he has me, then I'll turn and walk away. You go, Weaver.
I know that second and the third stage kind of hits on that that notion of a teaching moment in a nightclub.
Yeah.
Hey, this is how I bait the hook and set the trap, and this is what I do at the end of it when I've got him dangling.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And that is definitely one of those gals who won't be around at 3 a.m., so there's no last call with that one.
That's
the last song. She got that list. Oh, my goodness. Okay. I'm going to put the next one up. I'm going to read this. And don't get excited. It's a very long one. So, this is called Kindle Eyes. My kid is a naughty poet. Kid eyes like a strange sin, singing with ruby lips to the devil within. Wash away the demon shadows as they recoil from her golden light, mixing with the crimson blush of naked flesh. Lyrics dance and flip over her body. Sparkling dark sinful eyes come and play with the devil from it. And so.
Another one. Well, she had eyes like strange sin, yes, but this was another very different piece, conjuring up that sort of beware of what you wish for, because, yeah, she might be one golden light and crimson blush and naked flesh, and how easily those lyrics dance and slip over her body, but once you dig deeply into those eyes and she's got you in her grasp, oh, the devil comes down, and you might find yourself a little hot under the collar. Nicely done, Kitty. I like that. Another one with just a little bite of humor in it, too. All right, Jean,
yeah.
You got it.
You know, I kind of like this piece. I was kind of surprised by the direction that it went, only because it's the only dark piece we've had tonight, but I don't think it was bad. I think it was a great, because the prompt you could kind of go a bunch of different directions with. And I think that it was a great brevity. It had a lot to say on the prompt itself. I mean, you know, she starts out with the sin, but then singing with ruby lips to the devil within. It has kind of a clever direction to go with that. You know, wash away the demon shadows to recoil from her golden light. Yeah, I don't know. I think that it was just really, it was a good take on the prompt. Interesting, definitely. And as always, with any good brevity, you know, you get a lot packed into a few words. And, yeah, excellent stuff. Nicely done, Kitty. All right, thank you for sharing with us.
Oh, Naomi's here.
Oh, yes. Hello, Naomi. Look, our hero.
Hello. Hello.
Hey,
how are you?
Hey,
sorry, I'm a little bit late. I'm late to the party, but I got here.
Hey.
Well, that's good. We've been having some fun.
Yeah. We're moving right along. Right.
Absolutely.
I've already muted myself once, you know. There's not a whole lot of room for that when there's two.
That's so funny because Diane started doing that.
Oh,
on the show this afternoon. She did it like twice. I was going to say there, you learn from the best. Yeah, but I got to read this piece by Kitty that you just had up there, and not one wasted word in this brevity, eh? Just amazing the way she used everything, like the naked flesh, the blush, you know, dance, the body, the eyes, of course, and, you know, the lips. She uses so many parts, body parts in this, you know, brevity. It's really awesome. Come and play with the devil tonight. Mm. Yeah, I love this brevity.
Okay, Rex. Well, the next one I'm going to put up is for you. And then
okay.
or Naomi. I have to kind of revamp a little bit and figure out where I'm going. Okay, here we go.
There it is. A Witch's Bagatelle by Jack Blue. Have you seen a grayish leaf trembling on the double base, like a fallen fairy's tear, crystallized timelessly to be just the tiny note of your evanescent hymn? Can you hear my purple wand whistle to the monochrome of your loveless symphony as some funky firefly perching on a string of night metamorphoses the tone? Do you let my honeybee shadow you with courtesy when a banshee saxophone, mocking every mortal throne, beckons tenderly to gray far beyond the feeble clay? And, well, here's different. Jack took She Was the Music Heard Faintly on the Edge of Sound. All right, Amy, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, well, I went and saw, I'm going to go see what that prompt is because so curious. I know it's a girl peeking, you know, you see her through the blinds, but she was the music heard faintly on the edge of sound. Yeah, I guess, you know, the line fits amazingly well with the poem here. You know, he has a trembling on the double bass, like a fallen fairy's tear. Wow, what an amazing, you know, line that is. Crystallized timelessly to be just a tiny note of your evanescent hymn. You know, and then the idea of her being like witch-like because, you know, with her purple wand, then he has funky firefly in here. He has amazing lines, you know. Jack Blue, you know, I'm just discovering him more and more, and I'm so amazed every time I read, you know, a poem of his. He has a lot. He always puts one in for the show, keeping it brief in the afternoon. And, you know, every write that I read of his is just so amazing. Such cleverness and always unique. And this is no exception. This is so such a unique write. Do you let my honeybee shadow you with courtesy? You know, just amazing how he fits all this into there. Just amazing, amazing, right? So unique, brilliantly written.
Thank you very much, Naomi. All right, Jean, how about you?
Yeah, I thought this was a great take on the prop. Lots of awesome music references to that. You know, it says, can you hear my purple wand whistle to the monochrome of your loveless symphony and some funky firefly perching on a string of night metamorphosis, the tone. You know, but there's references in each one of the stanzas, you know, double bass and tiny notes and hymns. And, I don't know. I think that he really did, you know, address that prompt very well. And it was just a well-done piece. So that's what I can say.
Oh, you're right. I think that last stanza, when a banshee saxophone mocking every mortal throne beckons tenderly to gray far beyond the feeble clay. I think that the feeble clay court and the mortal throne, it's on that note of life itself. And this kind of the double bass thought, the purple wand whistled to the monochrome. Cause the purple wand could be the bow across a violin. So I think that the note to music is how it washes over one and brings out carefully crystallized thoughts, notions, and movements within the body itself. And that's basically what I get from it. Do you let the honeybee shadow you with courtesy when a banshee saxophone mocking every mortal throne? There is a nice note of almost do you let that forbidden note just tickle your fancy
let it sing to you in voices only you can hear. Nicely done, Jack. Thank you. All right, Jean. We're back to you.
Okay. Let me see now. Next, for my next magic trick, first I'm going to put up Frank. And then Naomi. I'll figure how to spread this out. So let me start Frank's audio. And here we go.
She's seductive and sultry like a voluptuous Hollywood vixen. The look of the weakness of sexy glance in naughty wink. So erotic are her intoxicating murmurs of the dripping passion. For she is the incantation of the moonlight shimmer. She teases me with her lips of wine, an exotic smile I can't resist. A strong sex appeal, like a magnet drawing me into a rapture. So desirable, lustful, are the sparkles of her ocean eyes. For they are the flirtations for play, to a tempting game of titillation. She's beautiful, curvaceous, like a sinful, sinful tone, a black gown. The sweet seduction arouses the longing hunger deep within me. So indomitable, intense are the burning flames of her persuasion, for they radiate like a purient fire with the saxophone of sensual jazz. She crosses the smooth legs of a cigarette blowing a sapshot path, and she's got Betty Davis's eyes with her irresistible charisma, glowing like the illustration of a starlit night's odyssey, for I just want to bathe naked in the twinkle of their illumination. Ella es la mujer que apasiona. Con esos ojos que me seducen y su mirada despacito me hipnotiza, me vuelve loco con sus tacones altos. She is the woman who impassions with those eyes that seduce me, and her stare slowly hypnotizes me with her high heels driving me so crazy, baby. Be my sexy baby. Be my sexy baby. Independent.
Great read, Frank. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right. Frank took She Had Eyes Like Spring Sins, another popular one. All right, Jean.
Well, I don't know. I think that Frank did a really great job with this. I mean, wonderful, wonderful imagery throughout. Very sensual, well-read, well-written. You can't help it. When Frank says his sensual pieces, it's funny because you can't help but kind of get caught up in it, you know. And it's not even about the music in the background sometimes. It's more about, you know, what he's saying and the way that he words it. And it all, it's very smooth, very, you know, enticing, really, when you look at it. She's beautiful and courageous, like a sinful femme fatale in a black gown. Her sweet seduction arouses the violence within me. So indomitable and intense are the burning flames of her persuasion, for they radiate like a purient fire with the saxophone of sensual jazz. Awesome. I mean, this piece actually strikes me as it could have actually touched on a few of those prompts that we had. you know, I really see different bits of it throughout. And I think that even, I don't know, it just gives it a little bit more interest for me. But very well done, Frank. Great job. Great choice of music in the background. Nice work.
Excellent. Thank you, Jean. All right, Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I like this. I like this a lot. Very, very central. You know, always like only Frank can do it. You know, he just has this way with the English language that he can create this amazing lines. I love the one that Phil just recited, but I also like how he compares the eyes to of a starlight night's odyssey, for I just want to bathe naked in the twinkle of their illumination. I just love that. Great right here, Frank. Amazing all through.
It is. There's some great little naughty thoughts that roll in this too. That opening was a great one. She's seductive and sultry like a voluptuous Hollywood vixen. Her look captivates me with a sexy glance and naughty wink. And then she finishes out, well, she is the incantation of the moonlit shimmer. Nice. And that second one, again, teases me with lips of wine and an exotic smile I can't resist. And then the finish out of that sparkles of her ocean eyes, for they are the flirtatious foreplay to a tempting game of titillation. And you guys covered that next stanza. I did a little playfulness in this next one, too. She crosses her smooth legs with a cigarette blowing a sexual puff. Well, there's a little innuendo right there with nicely touched upon. And she's got Betty Davis's eyes with her irresistible charisma, glaring like the illustration of a starlit night's odyssey. Nice. Nice. Nicely done, Frank. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right, Jean. We're coming back on you.
Yeah, there's not a band member in that whole poem. Yeah, each one is just as wonderful as one before, so. Oh, I know what I said I was going to do. I'm going to put Naomi's pizza.
What was that?
I'm going to put
Dog Pile on the Rabbit. Dog Pile on the Rabbit.
I don't know.
Wrong show, Rex.
It does get everybody a little bit of smile.
We're not supposed to have a dog pile on the back.
Or how about we go with Jessica Rabbit?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You're not supposed to have a dog pile on the rabbit on a Wednesday night.
There's a lot of it.
Oh, I missed that. That went right over my head. Oh my God, I missed that thought. I just got the insinuation on that. Yeah, those were two illusions I shouldn't have made.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, no, we'll have some silliness. Miss Naomi, I'll put your piece up, so whenever you are ready.
Yeah, so this is called Ensorcelled, or Ensorcelé, like they say in French. So, her sinuous streaks of serpentine slowly slithered, swallowing him whole. Velvety, her voice enticed as the scent of peppered spiced whiskey. Dark, her eyelashes dipped in yet to be unfolded mystery. Bold, her sinful painted lips begged to be crushed by his mouth. As savagely, her every sensuous curve pressed up against his body, screaming, not to be taken soft and gentle, but hard and rough, yearning to be branded by a firestorm of heat and flames, demanding a rough possession, that would burn her fiercely to ashes. End poem.
Well,
great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. All right, Gina.
Tell us what you really mean, Naomi. Just saying, you know. It's a great brevity. It really was. You know, it was just really just well put together. I love the alliteration in the first two lines. I was like, okay, I just tripped over them 14 times over. But her voice is finished as the scent of peppered spice whiskey. Dark. Her eyelashes dipped in yet to be unfolded mystery. Bold. Her simple painted lips begged, crushed by his mouth. Just great imagery in each one of the couplets. Just really well done. I think it kind of nailed that prompt because she does have that kind of look in her eye like, yeah, come on. You know, don't be nice about it. Come on. You know? I think it works. It really does. Just excellent. And I loved your last three lines here, a rough possession that would burn her fiercely to ashes. It's just really applies to me. Like I said, great imagery. And just well expressed.
Thanks, Phil.
Yeah, that picture does have a sense of almost wickedness about it, especially
mm-hmm.
considering you've only got just red lips and green eyes to show off the rest of the black and white, but they say so much, as did this, the sort of the touch of darkness, a voice enticed as the scent of pepper, spice, whiskey, dark, eyelashes dipped and yet to be unfolded mystery. And that mystery could be, as you got into it, yearning to be branded, demanding a rough possession that would burn her fiercely to ashes and probably him crushed in the dust.
mm-hmm.
She does leave that little impression there, as does your voice.
Thank you.
Oh,
Ray.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jean, it's Rebecca to you.
Okay, almost to this. Yeah. Okay, then. I get back to that. And I swear I just saw Leah somewhere. Where is she? Hello, Leah. And there we met. So now I'm going to go to Rex. English one.
Okay, what am I doing? You lay it on me.
I gotta figure out what I'm doing before I can tell you what you're doing. This is the one I said.
Oh, hi, Louie. Louie is in the room.
Yes, he is. My gosh, Louie's on the line. Hello, Louie.
Hello.
Hi, Louie.
Hello, Sensei, Rexy, Phil, and Naomi. That was a fantastic read. It was sizzling. I like how you took that hard edge of the picture and you put that sensuality into your poetry. That was fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you, Louie.
Well, all right. We've got the Dizzy Mugshots by Jim Bellamy. The dizzy mugshots of tomorrow's sexy marzipan will lammer after death's. Oh, figgy soap slots fuse yesterday's empty sea of scrams underneath breasts. Oh, a pigger becomes screwed. And once along a mind in a strange world, Mother Isis gets pulled by her nets, and la, when weavers crisscross, then Father Iris gets sprawled, and wet jets reveal rectal transgressions to defectors. The dizzy mugshots of the evil, messy tree of hands will hereby scatter sweet decks across an evil diesel girl whose young fanny stinks and petrols under sister sweat. Oh, a petrol pusher, world, spin when Mom Daffy's aside brands, and la, when weavers intercross, mama brides must feed faith to lost islands, and these birded words become bruised, eternally
and always, and forevermore, ocean, sexual, and foam. And Jim took prompt three, which was I like smooth, shiny, hard, warm girls loaded with sin. All right, Luke, you're the first one in the room recently.
Take it away.
What do you think?
Man, I'm talking to my mute button. You did a fantastic job. You did a fantastic job. I'm picking up Lawrence Habit. You did a fantastic job in reading this, but now Lawrence better. Now I'm going to have to get better at this. What I liked about this is that sarcasm, sarcastic, almost it's sensual. Because if you look at that picture, that hard-lined face that she has and the quote that she used, because right here, I mean, I just like the sorry, my asthma's bothering me. The dizzy muck shops of evil, messy tree of hands, hereby scatter sweet ducks. Now, this line right here is the kisser. Across an evil diesel girl whose young fanny stinks under petals, under sister sweat. Oh, the petrol pusher world, spin muffin daisies. He took this in a whole different direction. And the words are dizzying, but they smack you almost like that look she gives you, like, screw you. You know, and then when he put that there, I just like, wow. That I could see. This was amazing. Great read.
Well said, Lou. Thanks very much. And Naomi, how about you?
This has a raw, raw flavor. Boy, I stopped right on the word rectal. I didn't get past that.
Oh, why would you do that?
Rectal transgression. You know, I zoomed into that word and I just stayed there. But, you know, I'm just joking. But, you know, yeah, of course I love, you know, but it was kind of true, though. But the dizzy mugshots of the evil, messy tree of hands will hereby scatter sweet decks. And, of course, you know, the line, you know, that Lou, you just cited there, across an evil diesel girl whose young fanny stinks back to rectal. And, yeah, I agree. You know, this is really raw, and it has, a kind of way, a play with words that just pulls you in and keeps you there and totally mystifies you, or, you know, it pops your curiosity. You want to keep on reading this. You know, an awesome play with words. I just love, you know, old figgy soup, slot, a pigger becomes screwed, and then, you know, the mother Isis and Allah, when Weaver crisscross, just the way that he writes, a patrol pusher, you know, just the way it's written, it's very, you know, very unique in the way it's written, and very, very draws you right in, so, and keeps you there. So amazing right here. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you very much, Naomi. All right, Jean, how about you?
Well, I have to say, Naomi busted me up really good, because when she stopped dead at rectal and she said she was stuck there, and I got to the word rectal and I thought, what did I put up on the board? And I start reading faster and get ahead of you, thinking, oh, my God, if I have to stop them, I got to figure out. Oh, my God. That's both sides of the coin right there. Let me just tell you. That was funny. Anybody who knows me knows that's true. I went, oh, my God. Now, Pam was here. She didn't know there was something. It shouldn't have been there from the title. She's good like me. I'm a little slower. But no, it was good. It was quite an interesting piece, you know, an interesting take on the prop. And nicely done. So thank you, Jim, for sharing with us. And thank you.
Well, there's a couple of words in here that had me thinking of the feed fakes, sweet decks, and lammer. They all kind of hit on the notion of gambling. Lammers are chips, sweet decks are cards we use for gambling. So it hits on that notion for me that the gambling being done along this particular line of well, because he does hit on the evil messy tree of hand. So it kind of hits on the notion of some of a pimp.
Mm-hmm.
So to speak, because he hits on a old petrol pusher. So there is an idea of that there is there's a gamble in what you do, and the mugshots kind of hit on that thought of, hey, you might end up in one of those dirty books, forever labeled, along with the rest of them. But that's what I get. And that, yeah, and it all boils down to that potion sexual, yes. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, and yeah, we're good to go.
Very good. Okay, well.
And that was one hell of a different take, too.
Yeah, sure was. We've had them coming from all different directions tonight, but that was one coming from somewhere. I really wasn't expecting. I'm like, whoa. It's very great. Let's see next.
All right. Where would you like to go next?
I have an audio to put up for you, Rex. This is a piece by Intimidus. And now that we have a couple folks here, you want to put it up. So here we go.
A spoiled sun was dragging liquid marmalade across the gray cartouche skyline as I boarded the L and headed into the bowels of my city. Wearing her decomp loud, proud, and on the sleeve of Evermore. That long and lethargic sardine can, chuffing in spurts, spitting out purple monkeys into the cluttered chaos of a hamster wheel on steroids. Dropping me into Falstaff's grotto, Neverland's wasteland, where Chantilly poured as champagne sparklers in her berth, revealing a thick, viscous ooze colored as her cape, pitch black. It lasted till midnight, then everything went dark. As I swam out of the gloom, I gagged in that piss-stained alley, knowing I'd been roped and doped. My meat suit was empty, save for the crave itching across that tattooed belly of despair. Preachers was cold and lonely, sawdust on the floor, to keep treating me like I slept with her last night. She ate ice cubes like candy and martinis everywhere. Hated her for the core brand she was, as jazz smoothed out that alley's pissy notes. Knobs Creek melted my bend as I smoked an old stogie, blue rings nursing a bruised mug and a swollen kisser. There she was, liquid kiwi flamethrowers, gumption and a Bolshevik strut, marking an emerald gown, brawling with a body begging to be freed. And those piano legs, oh, those piano legs, supported a very fine Georgia peach ass. We were outcasts, always had been, thinking one more night, one last time would get it out of our system for good. But we came back again and again to that beast of planetary alignment. She paid me up front, 30 silver shekels. I'd been damned before, but something ugly tickled my spine, and I hated myself for the pleasure found. Like Russian roulette, buckshot and bullets is a game that leaves one riddled with holes or believing in God. And I was as dry as tortugas, untreasured, this baited tarpon floundering on the shores of a dead man's reef, alone, once more. Feathers, fronds, and sleepless nights. Just another story keeping the breath of this foul and putrid vasectomy awash in angeled tears.
Nice job, Rick. Nice job. Naomi, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, like only, I love, first of all, the read, that like that drawl or the drool or whatever you call it there, that's the slow, the voice there, with the accent and the just amazing. It took us there to the whole story. Like I see this unfolding in the wild, wild west somewhere, in a little town. With a bar in it and dark and it's dark and smoky and we can just feel it, the whole atmosphere, and just the way you use the words all through, you stopped in Neverland's wasteland, where Chantilly poured as champagne sparklers in her berth, revealing a thick, vicious ooze colored as her cape, pitch black. And then, when you describe the woman herself, there she was, liquid, kiwi, flamethrowers, gumption, and Bolshevik strut. Just amazing the way you can play with words, Rex, all through reference to Russian roulette there, and then the way you finish it, just another story keeping the breath of this foul and putrid vasectomy awash in angel tears. My gracious, I don't know how you come up with all this, but just amazing, every time you write, and this is so amazing. Just is the way you play around with the words and the incredible lines that you've come up with. Spurt spitting out purple monkeys into the cluttered chaos of a hamster wheel on steroids. My gracious. I could go on and on and on. Just amazing. Just amazing writing.
Oh, thank you very much, Naomi.
Absolutely. And, Lou, how about you?
Can you guys hear me? I'm not muted.
I can hear you.
Yeah, we got you.
Okay. This is just fantastic storytelling. This is so black and white, Nor, just watching this. You could just see the storyline flipping. It's fast, it's heavy, it's dirty, it's specific. You can taste everything here. And, you shouldn't mess with Georgia peaches when they can pop ice cubes like candy. I just love that. Was cold and lonely, sawdust on the floor. They kept treating me like I slept with her last night. She ate ice cubes like candy and martinis. Mm-hmm. Everywhere hated her for the call brand she was, as jazz smoothed out the Alice pissy notes. And I could just literally see her kissing you up against a wall, and then, you getting, drunk, smacked around and robbed while you're laying out in that stinking dirty pissy alley. This was excellent storytelling, very visual. You could just, the way you read it was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you, Lou.
You know, Rex, I thought this was great. I think that, you know, again, this comes from a whole different direction than everything else we've read tonight. So it's just another of those surprises. It's like, okay. And I shouldn't be surprised because I had a loaded audio that did not listen to that. I think I told you that earlier. But definitely full of intriguing imagery. Wonderful job. As always, you know, you have all of such wonderful description of everything as it goes through. You never miss a beat. You know, you always have it so filled out and just full of imagery and story. And I don't know. It's just always intriguing to me. But it was excellent work, and I'm going to put something in for tonight. It worked. Good luck in the time.
I had a bit of fun with it. I like the noir angle. Lots to play with.
Yeah. Makes it fun. And just so everybody's aware, we have a caller on the line. We have Earth Passions has joined us. Earth Passions, I'm not sure. Did you hear Rex's piece?
You're not sure what?
I said, did you happen to hear Rex's piece when we played the audio?
I did.
Would you like to comment on it?
Well, it was quite the scene. It made me think of a Brando movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I do like the accent. Although sometimes I can have a little trouble understanding it.
Wonderful to hear your voice, Earth Passion. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah. Hi, Earth Passions.
Hi.
Just so you know, Earth Passions, I'm not sure if you know who all is here. Of course, you know Rex.
No,
we have Lou Wild. We have Lou Wild Dove. We just spoke with you. And we have Naomi.
Oh, she's
Naomi
there Sarah. Also, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then me. And that's us. That's 40%.
I'm getting a lot of static all of a sudden.
Yeah,
thank you, everyone.
You're very welcome.
Somebody's shuffling around papers, maybe? No. I don't know.
Oh, we can hear you good.
Lou, I think I'm going to ask you to read the next piece.
Okay. See, my pleasure.
Thank you, honey.
Okay. The Black Dawn and the Suitor by Poetic Creations. The Black Dawn had finally arrived. The burning of whiskey was subtle comparison to the fire of desire that burned within myself. The way that dress clung to her chest was the same way that I clung to the fantasy that she was the only here to appease my inclination towards nudity. If the cards played were tarot cards, they'd probably speak about a lonely man and an even lonelier night until that moment when she stripped with her intentions, stripped all her doubts, and struck down her fears, replacing constrictive with an option. To not be ruled by feelings or men, she disrobed out of need. A need to provoke sensuality, barely their touch, crafted to kill the lonely man in poem.
Thank you very much. Nicely done. All right, Naomi, why don't you lead us off?
I love this, you know, how she gives in all the empowerment to the woman and, you know, the power of all her sexuality and all her sensuality. And, you know, that she's just with a bare touch, She's crafted to kill the lonely man. That's amazing, amazing right here. And, you know, and it's so true, you know, you can be, you don't have to be, you know, hypocritical and be, you know, you just go for it, you know. That's what I say. That's how I live anyway. You know, if you want to be sexual and sensual, well be it, you know, and don't hold back, and you know, I love the way he wrote this, and you know, there's so many amazing lines here, and just love this write by Poetic Creations here.
Excellent. Thank you, Naomi. And Earth, how about you?
Well, I was particularly taken by the lines. Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
The lines of appeasing to my sanity was something that really captured my attention. It's a wonderfully sensuous and very expressive piece, I think. It would help me a lot if I could see it in front of me. Maybe you guys have that, right? You have the pieces up.
Oh, yes. It's on the chat board right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. It would help because otherwise, you know, you're listening and you're trying to remember all the lines. I don't have that luxury presently.
Are you part of the Late Night Poets Compassion?
Am I what?
Are you a member of Late Night Poets?
Am I a member of your particular group?
Yes. No, you're not.
I don't think so.
We put the links up in the room each time. So that's why I wanted to. But I'm going to send you the link. So you know.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, you just did, right?
Yes.
The Black Dawn and the Suitor. Yeah, very nice. All right. Right.
And how about you, Jean? What do you think?
Yeah, I thought this was a nicely penned piece and a good take on that prompt. You know, very clever. You know, again, another angle on the night. You know, it's interesting. But I especially like the last two stanzas. She's stripped with her own intentions, stripped of all her doubts, and struck down her fears. The placing restrictive was an option. To not be ruled by feelings of men, she disrobed out of a need to provoke sensuality with a barely fair touch, crafted to kill the lonely man. I thought they were great, two great ending stanzas, and I think that, you know, they kind of brought the whole thing full circle. So well done. Great job, PC.
Absolutely. All right, Lou, you got to read that. You put some oomph in it. What do you think? Lou, you there? Or are you mutating?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here. I said what I liked about this poem was exactly what, you know, they were Naomi was talking about. You know, a lot of people, especially in the older movies from the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, which I am a fan of, you know, Ted Turner. I love to watch all these old movies. You know, I could just see the smoky bar, her sitting on this table, you know, the smell of whiskey in the air. And, you know, what I like was what he said was that, where is it that he says, if the cards played were tarot cards, they'd probably speak about a lonely man and even lonelier nights until that moment when, you know, in a lot of these movies, you would see a lot of them with their hats and their cigarettes hanging out of their mouth, and they're at the bar drinking because they're brokenhearted. But what I like was he twisted it here because she's in this bar, and it says, she could be lonely too. You know, you got two lonely people, you know, and it says, you know, she, you know, because women were raised differently from men, and her intentions is, if she's lonely, why can she not pick up a lonely man? You know, because mm-hmm. that's what he says here. It says to not be ruled by the feelings, you know, our feelings, you know, or regret or the things we hear, or by men or what men say, because men do this all the time. So, and I'm thinking, mm-hmm. well, if men are doing this all the time, they're doing it with women. So obviously, duh, there's two lonely people here, you know, and it says, and, you know, and just that touch, that feeling just to be touched by somebody can just be an explosion of all types of sensual sensations.
That Lou. Now that there was a, I don't know if he meant to include the quote that came with the picture or just the picture itself, but it kind of, it works on that level. The quote was, I don't mind you showing me your legs. They're swell legs. And I'm glad to make their acquaintance. So there's that, with that in mind, it works very well the way you said it, Lou, but it also hits on that sort of, this guy seeing her, noticing her, and understanding that's something that is out of his league, out of his realm, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
because it hits on that notion right at the end with a need to provoke sensuality with a barely there touch crafted to kill a lonely man. And that would be that, that guy watching her in that moment, the way that dress clung to her chest, and I clung to this fantasy that she was only here to appease my inclination towards nudity. But no, she was there to appease her inclination towards that girl. So it does work out on what you said too, Lou. I like that thought. Nicely said.
Thank you. Very Humphrey Bogart.
Okie doke. Let me see. Now. My next
We're coming back to you, Jean.
Well, I'm gonna toss the baton right over there to Earth Passion so she can read her piece for tonight.
Okay.
Oh, let me switch pages here.
Okay, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Oh, yes, you can hear me okay, yeah?
Yes.
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 Okay. This is your prompt 4. She smelled the way the Taj Mahal looked in moonlight. The sultry scent of jasmine flowers draped about her hair. Her stride, a royal symphony, could cause a man despair. The power of possession aims to capture now his mind, where any will to reason thus has left him deaf and blind. Like pools of deep desire was the gaze cast by her eyes. Their haunting spell, like fire, burned his every cell alive. The throbbing of his heartbeat echoed past the water's edge. It reached her heightened senses, his devotion there to pledge. His beauty that beguiles a man, yet passion moves him more, to fan the flame into a blaze more fierce than felt before. Teased by her form, the comb he must to her ravishing charms, no greater wish than bringing her into his fervid arms. I'm assuming everybody knows the backstory of the Taj Mahal, right?
No, I do not.
That's a great, great.
That the back doors of the Taj Mahal were what?
The back story for the Taj Mahal.
Yeah, the history of the Taj Mahal. Right. Right. Which was built for from the passion of this Maharaj for his wife who died. He was with her all his life. But he had such a love for her, that's why he built the Taj Mahal. And it has endured to this day.
And it is a beautiful place. Pure reverence for his love for her. Great read there, Earth. Thank you very much. Let's get you some comments. Naomi, let's start with you, please.
Yeah, well, first of all, Earth Passions, I want to say that, you know, I'm a fan of yours from, you know, way, way back. I just love everything. I mean, everything you write is just so amazing. You just have this powerful way of writing, you know, bringing up such imagery. And in this case, you know, the imagery is there, the emotion is there, and you know, and the rhythm and the flow of this piece is just amazing. You know, right from the first line there, the sultry scent of jasmine flowers draped about her hair. You know, just beautiful. Just from right from the start, and it doesn't let out. You know, to that last line. You know, teased by her form, succumb he must to her ravishing charms. No greater wish than bringing her into his fervid arms. Just amazing. Yeah, just amazing writing. Just stunning piece here.
Thank you, Naomi.
Thank you.
And Jean, how about you?
This is just a beautiful piece of fashion. Just really very incredible. And again, a whole different take on that. Just beautiful imagery throughout this piece. And I did not know the history of the Taj Mahal. So I can see how you incorporated that into this, right? And beautifully.
Yes,
so.
What my intention would be. What my intention would be with a piece like this is to not only have it be the passion between the male and the female, the man and the woman, but also the passion that surrounds the Taj Mahal.
Wow.
So bringing that into it, yeah.
I want you absolutely succeeded on that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Definitely.
It's always my aim to reach a little farther than just the limit of physical form.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's always nice when you can add that extra into it. And that's the self-satisfaction of the writing, I think. But definitely
yeah.
A beautiful piece. And definitely, I'm tickled that you wrote for the show tonight. I'm glad you called in. That's a nice treat as well. So I want to thank you.
And Lou, how about you?
Earth Passion, I think you have a beautiful voice for reading poetry. I hope to hear you read some more. For me, when I looked at this picture of the lighting, it's like it was two hearts that were beating as one. I thought you captured that. You captured the scent. You captured the beauty. You captured the love story of the Taj Mahal. And what for me, it says that it was the beauty that beguiles a man. But right here, I love these lines, like pools of deep desire, was a gaze cast by her eyes. I could just literally see her eyes, and it says, and the haunting spell, like fire, burnt his every cell alive. When you have that love and passion for somebody, it never goes away, no matter how old you are. The heat of the eyes will always carry the passion of the heart. And I thought you caught that so beautifully. This was gorgeous.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Lulu, are you in Germany?
Am I what?
Are you in Germany? Your page says you're in Germany.
No, I'm not in Germany right now.
Ah, okay. You're in the States?
I'm not in Germany. I don't live there anymore right now. But I just put it there because of some issues. But
okay. I'm
still
wondered,
here.
I wondered where you were.
Yeah,
I just
that's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
Well,
it's okay, please.
Earth, I like the double illusion that you got, Rick, to this. It does speak of the love held between the Maharaja and his wife, but it also hits on the idea, especially that that second stanza, like deep pools of deep desire, was a cascade by eyes. There's that notion of the pool itself outside
right.
the Taj Mahal. So it gives that
right.
Illusion of the building itself and the love that was put into erecting that monument in honor of his wife. the passion that went into that, putting something that beautiful together, and it still stands as a devotional piece to what they had.
Right.
But also, it hits on that last stanza, walks in that sort of, tis beauty that beguiles a man, yet passion moves him more, and that hits on the building again itself. So the whole thing walks around the love they held for each other in life, what he still held to his heart in death, and what still lives today these many hundreds of years later.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty enduring.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And I love your voice, too.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Well, gang, we're up against the hour. It has been too solid, and we've done quite a bit tonight. I don't know if we got any left over. Maybe one or two?
We have a few. I think we have four left.
Okay.
Four.
All right.
So,
do we have space for Friday?
I think maybe we can slip them in on Friday. As long as they're
cool.
Not crazy. I don't think we have any crazy ones.
Nothing like a little salsa on Friday.
That's right. It's Frisky Friday, that one. We get a little bit Frisky Friday.
It's been a hell of a night. Great show, Gene. Lou, thank you for stopping in. Naomi, thank you for stopping in. Earth Passion, and for you stopping in. Frank, for hitting on the boards for us. Thank you very much. This was a wonderful evening. A lot of very different takes on the pictures and the quotes themselves. This was a lot of fun. Thank you all very, very much. And we'll
you
see
all have a good night.
Very, very soon.
Thank you.
Love you guys.
Excellent, everybody.
Everyone. Great show, Rex.
Love you,
Phil.
Mm-hmm. Hi, gang. Thank you.
Nice work. Well done.
Yeah, it was a bit of fun, wasn't it?